Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning how to adjust our thinking so that God can move us into our next season.
God doesn't answer our prayers the way that we tell Him to answer our prayers. God is sovereign. He's Lord. You don't negotiate with God. You don't buy off God. You don't tell God how to do it. God tells us how to do it. We humble ourselves before God, and God does within us what we need before He gives us a breakthrough.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is the president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, have you ever been disappointed by the reality of a situation because it didn't match your expectations? I think it's safe to say that most of us have experienced that a time or two. And that's why on today's program, Mark will be showing us how to align our own expectations with the will of God. We'll be learning more from the biblical character Naaman about the perspective we need in order to step into our next season. So if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open to 2 Kings chapter 5 as we join Pastor Mark for the next key point in his lesson titled, How to Adjust Your Thinking.
So here's the picture. This prophet that's known throughout all of Israel as a man of God has a house. Naaman shows up with his troops and his splendor. The horses are overflowing with bags of gold. I'm sure he's dressed in his military regalia. And they show up feeling like, I'm an important man. I bring gold. I bring a letter from the king. So therefore, I should have access to the power of God or to the prophet. And this is what happens. Verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him. And he said, the messenger, Elijah didn't show up himself. He just sent his servant, a messenger. And he said, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. So you can see Naaman's face. Go down, ask himself, hey, I thought Elisha was going to show up here. And then Naaman gets angry. This is what the Bible says. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he, speaking of Elisha, would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over me, and the spot would be cured of my leprosy. And then with a snarl, you can hear him say, are not Abana and Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and he went off in a rage. Now I want you to hear me well. This is really important. I'm talking about adjusting our thinking if we're going into a new season. Can I tell you this? Listen, sometimes we can allow our expectations to drive us away from your God-given breakthrough. Sometimes you can allow your own expectations to drive you away from a God-given breakthrough. Because sometimes we approach God with expectations. We impose on God our expectations. We come to God and we have a request from God, but we think that in our mind, God is going to do it one way, but instead God chooses another way. And when God's way and our way don't match, our expectations are dashed, and sometimes we walk away from a breakthrough that God has given us because God is not doing it the way that we expected Him to do it, the way that we wanted Him to do it. Naaman is ticked. He walks away. Elijah had said, you can be cleared of your leprosy. But Naaman is so mad that it's not the way that he expected it was going to happen. He thought the man of God was going to come out, meet him in person, wave his hand over him, call upon God, and that right there his spots were going to be cured. Instead, Elijah asked him to do something. Instead, Elisha asked him to go humble himself and wash in the Jordan River with all the other beggars that washed themselves in the Jordan River. Because Elisha knew that Naaman needed more than just a healing of his body. He needed a healing of his soul. You see, you may be praying for something that you really want, and God is preparing you for what you really want, but he's going to do not just what you really want, but he's going to work in you what you really need. Hello. Yeah, you may be praying for that wife, and God says, I want to answer you and give you a wife, but you know what? If I were to give you a wife right now, you would so blow it. I need to work on your character so that you could handle that wife. And so before he brings that person into your life, he humbles you and breaks you and prepares you. And you may get mad at God because he's not answering your prayer, but God is answering your prayer because he's preparing you for something that you really need, even though you don't want it. You want a spouse, but God says, before I give you a spouse, I need to work on your character. And so it may dash your expectations because God is doing something that you didn't ask for, but you really needed. I know some of you are not saying amen, you're saying ouch. But let's move on here. So Naaman had a picture in his mind of how his healing was going to happen, but it didn't work out that way. He thought his breakthrough would be more dramatic and personal, but yet God was leading him to the river of humiliation. He didn't think he would have to do anything, but instead God is asking him to humble himself. You see, I think a lot of us miss our God-given breakthrough because God doesn't work the way we expected him to work. And so we walk away from God's way because it's not how we expected. In other words, our expectation sabotage God's answer to prayer or the breakthrough in our life. James chapter 4 says, but he gives more grace. Say more grace. Go ahead, say it out loud in your living. More grace. But he gives more grace. What is grace? Unmerited, undeserved favor. That's why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. You know, I remember when God was first working in my life and I was sensing that God was calling me to ministry. And I started preparing, and I was getting into some deep Bible study. I was in Bible college, and I was learning all this systematic theology and exegetical preaching and hermeneutics and homiletics and getting into the Greek and breaking things down. And I was really saturating myself in deep things of the Word as I was studying. And in my mind, I thought, wow, look at all this knowledge that I have. I'm going to really be able to bless people. Lord, give me a place to preach. I'm ready. I was probably 18 years old. And I went and I taught Sunday school in a little inner city church. And these were 5 and 6 years old. And I thought, no, these guys can't understand all the knowledge that I have. I need adults to preach to because I'm ready to preach and teach the Word. And so I asked the department in charge of sort of assigning ministries if there was an opportunity to preach to adults or speak to the adults. And it came back. They said, sure enough. And I was happy. I said, yes. And they said, the opportunity to preach and teach to adults is in a Fullerton senior citizen's home. I didn't really know what that meant, so I said, great, are they adults? They said, yeah, they're adults. So I studied up my first Sunday that I was going to be there. I studied up. I pulled out my commentaries. I broke down the Greek. I looked into the breakdown of the verbiage and the wording, and I looked at all these different commentators, the greatest scholars, and I came with my notes, and I was ready to preach. And my expectation was I was going to open up the Word of God and people were going to be listening and hanging on every word and attentive. And it was just going to be this powerful service. And so that was in my mind. And so I showed up to the Fullerton Senior Citizens Home ready, prepared. And we started to worship and I realized no one was there. And I thought, well, maybe we have the time wrong. So as they were worshiping, I went over to the lady that was in charge. I said, excuse me, where is everybody? Oh, she said, hey, honey, these are senior citizens. You got to go get them. I said, what does go get them mean? Oh, she said, you got to go to the room and bring them out. They don't just show up. So I said, okay. So while people were worshiping, I went door to door, knocked on the door and said, hey, we're having service. Would you like to join us? Sure, honey. And so I'm walking little old ladies over there, wheeling people into the auditorium, bringing them all. And finally, I look at my crew and there they were. These are like seniors. Before I even said hello, probably about 25% of them had already fallen asleep. I mean, they were like snoring pretty loudly right there. I didn't even say, and I started to speak, and one little guy is jumping up and down in the background. Another little couple, one lady, I remember she had lipstick all over, and she was like, you know, kind of looking at her honey that she had in the back row, and no one seemed to be paying attention. And I'm trying to preach the word. I mean, they didn't even understand how much time and work I had put into just this powerful message. And I remember the first message, and it was such a disappointment to me because I had put so much work and effort into it. But you know what? God taught me something really, really big. It didn't meet my expectations. It's not what I anticipated. But you know what God was teaching me? God was teaching me that it doesn't matter how much you know until, first of all, people know how much you love them. And over the next several months, I realized that what these people needed is, yeah, they needed the truth. But more than the truth, they needed someone to love them and pray for them. And I started going room to room. And God taught me that these were lonely people, broken people. Some of them no one had visited in months. Some of them, their family members never came to visit them. And just to sit and listen and pray, God, it wasn't what I expected. And I walked away disappointed, but God was doing something in me. First of all, He was teaching me, I'm going to teach you to love people. I'm going to teach you to minister to people, to bless people, because it's not about... Knowledge puffs up, but love, it edifies. It was some of the best lessons that I could learn, even though it was not what I expected.
And we'll hear more about this unexpected lesson from Mark in part two of today's message here on Bold Steps. First, Mark, I want to share with listeners about the interesting wedding lesson I read about in the Bold Stepper Weekly this morning. This was quite a family affair.
It was. Yeah, my son got married about a year and a half ago. And by the way, his wife is expecting.
Oh, wonderful.
And we're 6 months into it celebrating. So you'll hear some personal updates, but you'll also hear stories like Neela, who is in prison listening to Bold Steps, and she actually talks about a little revival that broke out among the women as they listened to the Bold Steps messages.
Wow.
So it's so good to see what God is doing.
Okay, you'll have to read about it in the Bold Stepper Weekly, and you can read about it if you signed up and got it this morning into your email box. But if you didn't sign up, please do that now. Go to boldstepsradio.org and click on the Bold Stepper Weekly, and then you'll not miss these weekly updates and ministry updates and devotional thoughts from Mark Job. So go to boldstepsradio.org. Thanks for that, Mark. Let's go ahead and get started now with the second half of your message titled, How to Adjust Your Thinking.
And I guess I'm speaking to someone today here as you're going into a new season. You've prayed and you've asked for a new season, and maybe you've begged God to take you into a new season, and the door into that new season doesn't look like the door that you expected, and God is doing something in you instead of giving you what you thought that you wanted God to give you, like Naaman. Naaman expected the door to his healing to be a prophet that waved his hand over him in front of his soldiers, and him with all of his medals and on his horse in regalia, that suddenly he would be made clean. But that was not the way God was working in his life. God was humbling Naaman because he needed more than just physical healing. He needed humbling of his soul. Number four, and lastly, you must adjust your thinking and allow God to work through the doorway of humility. Verse 13, Naaman's servants went to him and they said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" Naaman is off in a huff. He's enraged. He's moaning. He's saying, "I should have never come. He didn't even come and greet me himself. I shouldn't have listened to that little slave girl. She led me astray. This is just a bunch of hokey pokey stuff. I can't believe that I fell for it." Why? Because he's full of pride. He's got an old mindset that's not letting him go into a new season. He's got his old commander mindset, and God's trying to humble him and give him a servant's mindset. And his servant talks some sense into him. And they say, if the prophet would have asked you to do something great, go fight a battle, kill 100 enemies, you would have done it. But he's asked you to bathe yourself in the river. Will you do it? And so the Bible says that Naaman finally humbled himself and he went down to the Jordan. I can just envision him reluctantly going down to the Jordan, having to take off his regalia and his robes. And there's other people that are bathing themselves in the river. Some are beggars. And he's walking down into the river. He's had to strip himself he's had to get off of his horse. He's had to leave his treasure behind. He's had to take off his robes of splendor and the commander robes. And now he's just like a child in the river. And the prophet said, "Dip yourself 7 times. And so he dips himself once, and it's humbling. And he dips himself again, and it's even more humbling. People stop, and they're whispering, they're watching. There's a whole troop around him. All of his soldiers are watching. The beggars stop and they're saying, "Who is that guy?" 3rd time, 4th time, maybe the 5th time, he starts to look at his skin to see if anything has changed, and nothing has changed. A 6th time and a 7th time finally. You know, the Bible says that he dipped himself 7 times, as the prophet said. And listen, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Bam! There's the breakthrough. Boom! There's the miracle. But you know what had to happen first? A humbling of himself. Not the way he expected it. God doesn't operate on our terms. God doesn't answer our prayers the way that we tell him to answer our prayers. God is sovereign. He's Lord. You don't negotiate with God. You don't buy off God. You don't tell God how to do it. God tells us how to do it. We humble ourselves before God, and God does within us what we need before he gives us a breakthrough. And the Bible says that I love that it says that his skin was restored like a young boy. It was not just half restored. It was not partially. You couldn't tell there was leprosy there. It was restored like a young boy's skin, like a little child. It was clean and it was pure. It was an absolute and powerful miracle. And the Bible says, then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God, and he stood before him and he said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. You see, he had a spiritual breakthrough. This was not just a physical breakthrough. This was a humbling breakthrough, but it was a spiritual breakthrough as he acknowledged that there was a God there. He had to dip. Listen, some of us are seven dips away from a major life change, but it's our pride that keeps us from taking the plunge. Naaman was seven dips away from his miracle and almost missed it. Seven dips away because it required seven dips of humility. And so here's what I'm challenging you today with. I believe that there's a new season that we're asking ourselves, what now? And God is working within our lives to take us into a new season. But you can't take an old mindset into a new season. God wants to deal with this so that we don't carry the baggage of lies and deception and pride and our own self-righteousness and whatever God has to do in our life to take us to the new season. He wants us to shed it before we go into the new season, like what had to happen with Naaman in his life as well. And so I guess the question I'm asking you today is, as you go through the scanning station like we do at the airport, and as God looks through your luggage and scans your heart, is there something that God is saying, no, you need to leave that in the old season. You cannot take it to this next season. You can't take it with you. I won't allow it to go forward into the new season. You have two choices. You can either say, okay, take it out, I'm leaving it behind, or you can be proud and self-willed and say, that's fine. If I can't take it, I'm not going to go to the new season. And you can stay stuck in an old season because you're unwilling to let go of that which God says you have to let go of. The choice is yours. God may be telling some of you, I want you into the new season, but I want you to leave behind. I want you to shed your pride. I want you to leave that lie behind. What is it that God is saying I want you to leave behind? I don't want that mindset in this new season. I'm doing something deeper than just taking you to a new season. I'm working on your character. I'm working on your heart. So I'm going to ask that you take a moment just to pray and let God examine your heart. Would you let the scanning of God go through your spirit and through your heart? Let the Holy Spirit pinpoint that which he's saying, you know what? You can't take that into your new season. And respond to the voice of God, to the searching of God. And some of us need to say, Lord, today I release this bitterness, this anger, this pride, this self-will, this expectation. And I bow before your sovereignty, Lord. And I say, you are Lord and I'm not. You're in control and I'm not. You can do it your way and not my way, God. Today I surrender. Let me enter into this new season, Father, leaving the old behind and embracing a new mindset for your honor and your glory.
Amen. We're learning how to put our old ways behind us as we step into our new season here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark, I'm just thinking this shift in mindset that we're discussing today, it isn't just a one-time thing, is it?
You know, Scripture tells us to be renewed by the transformation of our thinking. Mm-hmm. And I always like to say that the moment we get saved, God gives us a new spirit. Through his Holy Spirit, he transforms us. But our mind takes years to transform. It's the renewing of our mind, and that takes work and effort and listening to programs like this where you get the truth of the Word of God explained and broken down to you.
All right, thank you, Mark. And if you have already begun taking bold steps in your walk of faith this year, we'd love to hear about it. Just go to boldstepsradio.org and click on the Be Bold Stories, and you can share your story there. Be Bold Stories at boldstepsradio.org. And then, as a timely addition to our current series this month, we're offering Mark's book, What Now?, as our latest Bold Steps gift. This special resource will help you learn how to move into your next season as you go deeper into changing your ways and connecting with God's vision for your life. Step into your next season this new year by requesting the book, What Now? How to Move into Your Next Season. It's available for your donation of any amount. Go to boldstepsradio.org, click on Give a One-Time Gift, or to give monthly, click on Become a Bold Partner. Or call 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. Once again, our website, boldstepsradio.org. Well, that's our time for today. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Be sure to come back tomorrow when Mark continues this series on how to move into your next season with a new message about inviting others to the journey. Learn the spiritual importance of community and getting a better understanding of the place and position God has called you to. It's coming up Tuesday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.